All right, moving on to verse 5. as an aside, in Scripture, there are, I have counted, three believers who did a runaway. The first was pregnant Hagar. She ran away. She didn't get any divine authorization to do so. And God intercepted her, turned her around, told her to go back and submit herself to her mistress. This is my will for your life. And she did. The other ones in the New Testament, the author of the Gospel of Mark, under pressure with Paul out there in the hostile cosmos presenting the gospel, he did a runaway. And even though he recovered, Paul didn't want to accept him back. Paul was like this hardcore guy. I can't rely on people like this. But at the end of Paul's deal, he mentions the fact that, you know, they were reunited, so to speak, reconciled, and that he was useful to me. So in all three instances, this is just for your, you know, information. In all three instances, the individuals involved didn't make it permanent. That's what I'm trying to say. They fulfilled the plan that God had for them under duress. They finally pulled it back together again and got back on track. Okay, moving on to verse 5. The principle of the remnant applies to the church age. In the same way, then, see, this is an analogy. The analogy is as it was in the day of Elijah, when there were so very few comparatively in the whole northern kingdom that had not succumbed to the Baal worship thing. I have 7,000 men. We're talking a population that would be numbered in the millions. There has to be. You know, that's a big area, and the Jews had been there a long time. So there had to be a lot of people there. And God informed Elijah, as he did his runaway, and it was on Mount Sinai where Moses was. Okay, kind of cool. There's another connection on Moses and Elijah. Moses and Elijah both were in that cave. For different purposes, and supernatural phenomena went on around them. Of course, Moses is there with millions of people. Elijah's there by himself, but he came under fear, and apparently was in phenomenal shape, and he runs all this way, runs all this way, and God feeds him on the way. Provides food and water where there's no food and water, and does it a couple times, and sends him and asks him what he's doing there, and he said, I'm the only one positive up there. They're all a bunch of this is all over. I can't and they're killing your prophets. They tearing down your sacrificial altars, and now they want to kill me. Because I'm the only one left. He said, no, you're not. You got one detail wrong. There's 7,000 men. And we're gonna turn this thing around, and we're going to bring that evil regime with that evil woman, Jezebel, we're going to bring it all down. I got the people assigned that's going to take her out and get things back to some kind of normal. So Elijah did this under fear. Doing the will of God isn't always what I want necessarily. It's what I got to do, what I've got to persevere under. You didn't choose your niche. You might have chose it, but I mean, it's what it is. And you can't look around and say, well, why can't I be like forget this mess. Because you are one person serving God, and you got your set of circumstances that you and I have to deal with. And no, not all of them are pleasant. But running off somewhere, changing the equation, and not having a clear mandate from the Bible, it's ill-advised. I'll just suffer the consequences. Oh, you don't even know what those might be. I wouldn't say that. Now, maybe under a person or other SDA says, I'll just ride out the discipline. Well, wouldn't it be better just to do the will of God and not have to ride out any discipline and let God work? Let God work it out. But everybody has to be patient. I want it right now. No, it's not the way it works. Right now, you're dealing with people's volition, and you're just one person with volition. You got to give things time. So that Hagar, she was persecuted by Sarah. Well, she brought it on. She stirred it up too, didn't she? Sarah can't get pregnant. She gets pregnant in a heartbeat. And she held Sarah in contempt. She had an STA. So she brought some of this stuff on herself. I can just imagine her doing her chores around there in the tent, and Sarah's there and she rubs her belly. And provokes her. And so she doubles her workload or whatever she does. And finally explodes, and she goes running off, way advanced pregnant. And God turns her around. She got into the self-pity too. What am I? I'm just a slave of Sarah. No, you're in the best environment on earth, whether you know it or not. Because you're around positive volition. You're around people that have a meaningful destiny. That's what you're around. You go on, run off out here, what do you got? You want to go back to Egypt? I have a plan for your life. And so she had some hardships. She did. And then at the end, when she's expelled from the place under divine direction with a 13-year-old boy, God had a plan for Ishmael. And this 13-year-old boy, he became a man real quick. He had to develop some really unbelievable survival skills. And he did. Like a lot of these kids today. Pathetic. They sit around, play video games, and this is about it. They haven't had to do anything. Survive. Grow up quicker than they wanted. You know? They got thrown in. When you get thrown in those kind of situations, it tends to make a stronger person out of you. And of course, if you do it with doctrine, you know, and I'm not talking about physical strength, being able to lift so much weight. I'm just talking about life in general. So anyway, all right. He says, in the same way then, that's an adverb, huto. In the same way, then, inferential conjunction, there has also come to be at the present time, and also in time, kairos, present, the now time, noon, a remnant, lima, according to God's gracious choice. There has come as a perfect indicative of Ginnamai, and the word choice is in that vein of election concept, eklage. It's choice of grace, according to the choice of grace. Literally, an election of grace. I put it in brackets because they did it that way. It's not terrible. It's just I like this better. There is a remnant according to an election of grace. But if it is by grace, and we know we're talking here about the topic of the way of salvation, but if it is by grace, instrumental of charis, it is no longer, adverb, no longer from works, from the source of works, ergon. Otherwise is a conjunction, epi. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. So with regard to the salvation adjustment to God, grace and works have no place together. It's all grace or it's all works. One. Paul proceeds to apply the Elijah example to his own time. In the apostolic era, there was a prominent Jewish remnant that was not like the great majority of Jews in and out of the land. There's always been a remnant. They may be hidden from you and I, but there's a remnant. There are those, in the case of the Jews, there are those who didn't buy in to the party line that salvation is by works, and ignore the prophecies relative to the Messiah, the suffering, rejected Messiah. This is a big hit on the Jewish psyche to say we're the ones to bring the Messiah into the world by our race and our history to eventually occur. That he would be born of a Jewish woman under those circumstances, and all the support and everything through the centuries, that all the things that had to occur to make this happen. And then we're going to turn around and reject him? Yeah. Corporately, you're going to reject him. You're going to turn on him. So they did. That's a hard pill to swallow. But there are those who are positive, and positive volition overcomes all of this, and says, I can see what it says here. I don't care what the rabbis say, unless they're saying the right thing. I see it right here. So you see this remnant in the early years of Christ on earth as a child. And where does this person pop up? Why'd they break from everybody else? Because they saw those scriptures and they didn't cast them aside. They understood that salvation was always by faith, not by Jewish circumcision, not by all the other stuff, not by some ritual or what have you. Widespread unbelief among the Jews did not override grace to those who were positive in the early church and down to the present time. The door is still open for Jewish conversion to the truth. Jews ought to be witnessed to like anyone else. Salvation is not by Jewish works, the works of the law, keeping these things. Those things are to be kept within the context of the dispensation, and that's fine, but they are not a part of the works of the salvation package. They are the same, believing Jews of the church age, they are recipients of the same grace as all members of the current elite dispensation, Ephesians chapter 2. And this is in Paul's epistles. For he, Christ himself, is our peace, peace with God. The hostility factor is ended for those that make the salvation adjustment. The offer of peace is out there for the entire human race to make peace with God. Make your peace with God. Well, what's that mean? Well, for the non-believer, it means to believe in Jesus Christ. For he himself is our peace, who made both one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall by abolishing in his flesh the enmity. What's that? Personal sins, which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so that in himself he might make the two, Jew, Gentile, into one new man, thus establishing peace, and might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by it having put to death the enmity. The enmity factor is the collective sins of humanity. They had to be dealt with. And they were dealt with when Jesus bore the sins of the world. So they removed the enmity, and the basis for the individual to have peace with God is through, of course, receiving Christ as one Savior. The present time refers to the church age in this verse 5. Jewish believers are here designated as a remnant according to God's election of grace, literally. Now, I've taught you this before. You should, with all the Calvinistic misfire on this, and this is not a minor issue, that God just picked some people and left the rest to go to hell. He did not do that. Yes, he picked people based on foreknowledge. It is so simple. He picks this person over this person because he knows this person will be a believer. So he casts a vote. He elects or predestines that person. Predestined means they're absolutely guaranteed that when they come on the scene in time, in history, at some point in history, they're gonna get the gospel and they're gonna get saved before they can die. Period. That's how airtight the plan of God is. So it says it right here. They want to play games with this word for foreknowledge. It's the word know, gnosis, and pro, know before. I knew beforehand this was going to happen. I had insider information, okay? Well, then you had foreknowledge of something that turned out to be the way it was going to be. I get a lot of these emails where they tell you this. Get ready for this. Well, they usually want me to invest money in something, you know, and they need to get with a plan of God. I don't care if they've got some choice stock out there that's really going to go crazy, and you get on the ground floor, or this is going to happen at the end of November. All of this is out there. I could care less. I have promises and I have God's word. He's going to take care of me. And I got an edge because I'm a positive believer and with a track record. And I've seen him bail things out again and again for me and help me. Even things that I stumbled and got messed up with. Versus things that, no, I was just going about my life. You notice how he didn't cut Elijah off at the pocket. He didn't treat him that way. He just turned him around and gave him encouragement and said, we're going to take care of this mess up north insofar as the corrupt leaders are concerned. We're taking them down. We're going to appoint a new king. We're going to get a hitman to go up there and throw, he didn't say that, but throw however he wants to do it, and throw Jezebel off of the balcony onto the hard paving stones. That's what happened to her. I told you, first session. And mangy dogs from the street, wild dogs from the street, ate her, tore her to pieces, ate her up. Left her hands and her feet as a memorial to this woman was evil. Her feet runs to evil. With her hands, she does these things. We're taking them down, Elijah. Okay, I'm in control. I don't care what the majority of the Jews up there are doing. We're going to get this done. I got you, and I even got you a replacement. And you're going to come and you're going to get introduced to this young man. He was the young man that saw Elijah leave the earth in a chariot. A flying chariot. Came down and he handed his mantle to Elisha, the E-boys. Elijah and Elisha. And he handed his mantle, which is a symbol of his authority. It's not just an outer thing he wrapped around himself. It's a symbol. It's like a uniform. Well, this verse says it real clear. in addressing these saints in the areas specified in verse 1, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, recipients to those who reside as aliens scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who are chosen. These are known Roman provinces, by the way. These are known from the ancient history books as provinces in the area that we would classify kind of like, well, you can get your map down, find out where Galatia is, and so forth. It's not Greece. It's more like in Asia Minor, they call it. According to foreknowledge of God. What's the antecedent? Who are chosen according to God's foreknowledge. Okay? The execution of it is by the sanctifying work of the Spirit to obey Jesus Christ, be sprinkled with His blood. And that isn't literal. It's symbolic. But anyway, I'm not on that. I'm just on the foreknowledge aspect. Or the election aspect. Election or choosing might scare people, but it shouldn't. He chose it based on what He knew you and I would be. Both actions are to be viewed from eternity past. 10. Grace is the principle by which God chose them. It's the unmerited favor of God. No, we don't deserve it. We just receive the grace sent our way. God did not choose them based on a merit system, a works-based system, or any of the rest of us. And yet, I suppose that's what a person thinks that's not raised up in an environment where they clear the air on this, like I was. I didn't know. I thought, well, there's a heaven, you're going to go there, you had to be a certain degree of good person. That's all I knew. I never had anything. I didn't go to any churches. It's just the way it was out there in the ranch. I was just thinking, well, I guess you got to be good. And then you do something bad and think, well, I guess that did that in. I don't know. So I was just like a fish out of water. I was just floundering around. I had no peers around me I could ask any questions, and they knew anything better. And so you have just your homespun human viewpoint. Well, I just think you just think. Salvation is not based on human will. It is not based on human merit. Grace and works are mutually exclusive with respect to the salvation adjustment. And works is not a part of the second adjustment. Well, you got to go do this and make up for the sin you just committed. I'd be so busy. I'd be so tied up with all that. You know, count so many beads on a thing. Who thinks this stuff up? Say so many Hail Marys. Run through all the kind of hoops they want to. Go tell a stranger, a priest, behind a curtain, your most intimate sins. You can't just say in general, I lusted after a woman. You got to give the gory details. You do. That's why they call it articulate confession. You got to articulate. You can't just say, you got to give a storyline. That's my understanding. These poor people running through all this. Christ died for your sins. All you got to do is name it and walk on. The flesh has this other side to it, doesn't it? That doesn't receive grace, or that wants to punish someone mentally or verbally for something they did, and they like to bring it up because they have nothing better to do. Haven't you read your Bible? I'm not talking to you all. I'm just talking in general, like I was talking to a big audience. Have you read your Bible? Do you want me to name some saints that pulled some big stunts and got right back on track, and they're up there at the highest level? I'm not encouraging you. Now, if you want to go out and say, well, I'll just do it, and I'll be like, well, yeah, go ahead. No, don't. I never told you to do that. I never encourage you. It's always better to do what's right, even at your own cost. But I'm just saying, I'm pointing out that some of these people committed some big sins. Moses got himself in trouble twice, and it wasn't for divorcing Zipporah, and it wasn't for killing that Egyptian down there in cold blood. That hapless Egyptian taskmaster that didn't see it coming. He probably walked up to him smiling and snapped his neck. He was dead before he hit the ground. Because he's going to win the favor of the Jews over. Operation, this depends on me now. Well, you got to grow up. Realize this is God's game, not yours. And it's too big for you to be the one-man show and do it all. It was failure to circumcise his secondborn in a timely fashion that almost got him killed. Sin unto death. And hitting that second rock twice when he was told specifically to talk to it. He let anger take over. He let the Jews provoke him into anger at the wrong time. He could have gotten his tent, threw things around, yelled and screamed. God wouldn't have said anything. But that rock symbolized something, and he broke the symbology. Christ has only struck for our sins once. He struck the first rock once. Now all you got to do is talk to the second rock up north, and water will come out of it. He was told specifically. So he violated the ritual. Almost got him killed. Well, it didn't get him almost killed. Excuse me. It got him denied phase two reward. You can't lead the Jews into the promised land. He begged God over and over. Said, no, that's it. You lost a phase two blessing. You're not gonna touch the land. We'll let your assistant do it. So grace and works are mutually exclusive with respect to the salvation adjustment. Paul asserts in no uncertain terms that a works-based system for salvation would neutralize the grace factor. It's oil and water. They do not mix. See you next time. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us in Christ's name. Amen.